really proud of my history and legacy and my family's in Montana, and was delighted to be back here in Missoula to talk about some of my favorite people.
When we think of heroes, especially female heroes in Montana, I think we do always think of Rankin.
Yeah.
And your family knew Jeanette.
They
while
did.
She was still alive.
They
yeah.
did. They were, mom and dad were in 1970 in Washington, D.C. Jeanette was in Washington. She had been asked to come lead a march of women protesting the Vietnam War. And so she went back, and mom and dad were delighted to be there and met with her after at her 90th birthday party. Mom asked her, Jeanette, how do you keep up your sort of energy and determination after all these many years of sort of fighting this good fight? And Jeanette said, oh, my dear, no one ever said it was easy. They only said it was right, which I thought was such a poignant and beautiful sort of statement. And then dad asked her, what do you want to be remembered for? She had had so many, things she could have been remembered for, and certainly those two war votes and the controversial one, particularly at World War II. She said, Pat, thank you for asking, because people think it's the war votes. But I actually want to be remembered as the only woman who cast a vote to give women the right to vote. Amazing, right?
Uh-huh.
Incredible, incredible. And I just think that that incredible history that Montana has of these women leaders should be known and remembered. So I was pleased to talk about it.
And some women in your family started a labor union in Butte.
That's right. My great-grandmas and aunties in 1893 helped start the Women's Protective Union, which was the nation's longest-lasting all-female union. And it was it lasted up until 1973. And in their long history, they had a remarkable sort of success in organizing around minimum wage and Social Security and things like that. But they also were very, very focused on making sure that the sort of face of the working class was respected and sort of understood. And this union has this beautiful, long history. One of the former presidents of the union, a woman named Val Webster, I had a chance to do some oral history work with her. As a student here at the University of Montana, I had a chance to go to Butte and archive some of that history and talked with Val, and I had expected when I was archiving the work to find lots of picket signs and old photos and things. And I only found one like sort of proper picket sign the way that we think about them today. And I said, Val, why were there no picket signs? Now, I had found this beautiful group of sort of silk yellow, really thin, beautiful banners with slogans written on them. So I brought that in and said, so why haven't I found any picket signs, and what is this? And she said, She said, I'm glad you asked that. It's that is a picket sign. And I said, what? I mean, it's just this small yellow silk banner. And she said, no, it's a picket sign. We pinned it to our shirts and we walked the picket line. She said, darling, you can't carry a child and a picket sign at the same time, which I thought was terrific.
You're the child of very political parents. And sometimes the children of whatever their parents are doing, you don't want to do or be involved in. But that's not true for you. You have carried on the heritage in terms of being an active, socially conscious person.
Yeah, that's right. It really is a total luck, of course, that I got born into the family I did. But I think along with my brother Griff and sister Erin, have a real sense of obligation and service, and we have always had that in our lives. And I've sort of chosen a path of not elected service, but public service in my own way. Started a company out in Seattle about 10 years ago that's a social impact consulting firm, and we help individuals and corporations make great things happen in the world and find ways to give back.
Some of these individuals that you help are quite well-known people. Bill and Melinda Gates of the Gates Foundation, Ben Affleck, the actor. And these are people who have resources to make a difference. You help them figure out how best to use those resources, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we do. We have a set of clients who are certainly well-known, like you mentioned, Bill and Melinda and Ben Affleck. And then we have some other clients who are less well-known, but all with assets and a determination to sort of leave the world a better place. And my company helps folks sort of navigate what are pretty complicated and confusing ideas and places, and help them figure out the best way to to give back. So we work on issues here in the U.S. as well as issues across the globe, particularly in Africa.
One initiative is called the Eastern Congo Initiative that you head up, and it's with Ben Affleck. And that is such a complicated area. Mm-hmm. And I was reading something that somebody said, you know, every time I talk about Africa, people's eyes glaze over. Mm-hmm. You have to fight that, don't you, as well?
You do. Yeah. You sure do. And I think I think it's certainly complicated, and this work is not easy. But I think there's also, you know, not unlike these sort of values that I talked about the other night here in Missoula, this sort of determination to make the world a better place, whether it's sort of folks living on a dollar a day in a place like Congo in the middle of a war zone, or people here, you know, in Missoula. The Eastern Congo Initiative is a really extraordinary undertaking. It's 4 years old this year, and Ben and I started it together and have been really proud to see some of the extraordinary progress. We have one sort of many stories, but one that's really fun is we've been working with a group of smallholder farmers in Congo who are cocoa farmers. And it turns out that Congo has a really beautiful cocoa product, that the cocoa that's grown there is really exceptional. And so Ben and I decided to see if we couldn't try to open up markets here in the U.S. for that cocoa, which was not exported at all from Congo until we got involved. And now there's a Seattle-based chocolate company, the fastest-growing chocolate company in America, actually, called Theo Chocolate, that is now buying 640 tons of cocoa from these farmers who we've been helping to train. And the chocolate bars are delicious. They're for sale here in Missoula. I think the co-op has them. I think Good Food Store has them. But it's all this Congolese cocoa, which is dramatically improving the communities. You know, the prices, they're getting fair wages for this cocoa, which means they can, you know, send their kids to school or get medical care or buy a, you know, bed net to stave off malaria. And so it's a fun way for people here in the U.S. too, to be able to buy a chocolate bar, support, you know, the work of these great farmers.
Can't let you go, Whitney, without talking a little bit of politics with you. You were the trip advisor and trip organizer, I think, for Hillary Clinton when she was first lady. It must have been a great job. Stressful too, I'm sure. But you learned a lot doing that, I bet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Hillary's extraordinary. After I graduated from the university here, I got a job in the White House working for her and was with her for about 3 years and have stayed in really close contact with her, and certainly going to be a big supporter if she, in fact, decides to run for president, which I very much hope she will. She's unbelievable. You know, she's just incredibly smart, really kind, someone who is, you know, absolutely determined, like we talk about our other Montana heroes, to make the world a better place. And it was a, you know, incredible experience for a kid from Montana to be able to travel to 40-something countries with her and 40-something states. And
what an education.
Incredible. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was, you know, certainly had a real experience around Dad's life when he was in the Congress for all those years when I was growing up, and knew a lot about the legislative branch, but had never had any, you know, sort of exposure to the executive branch. So being able to work that closely with such a powerful woman like, you know, Hillary all those years was remarkable, and it, you know, wouldn't have, my life sort of today is, you know, changed because of it.
Knowing her as you do, what do you think she's weighing now in deciding whether to run? Because right now her reputation has never been higher after being a successful Secretary of State. And to go through the grueling 2 or 3 years of campaigning for president, which she's already done, and take the slings and arrows that comes with that, what do you think she's weighing in her decision?
Yeah, I think, you know, she genuinely feels the obligation to serve. So the question is, what's the best way to do that? And certainly, I imagine it's got to be tough for her every day. You know, people have been asking her. They hope she'll do it. You know, there's this group Ready for Hillary and lots of others.
Oh, there's a campaign already begun.
Oh, yeah, who've organized around her. I think she is very focused on a couple things right now. The work of her foundation, you know, it's been recently renamed the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation. She's very focused on some activities she's doing there. She's finishing a book, which should be out soon, later this year. And she's getting ready to be a grandma. And I think that those things are all, you know, top of mind for her. And obviously, this is something she's got to make a decision about sometime next year. And it's a, you know, it's a big and complicated question. I think the question for her is not, do I continue to make big things happen in the world? And do I continue to do, you know, extraordinary work? But it's, how do I do that? And running for president is obviously a tough job, and certainly being president is a tough job. So I think for, you know, all of our sake, I hope she'll do it, but we'll see.
One final question for you. If she does, do you see yourself being part of a Hillary Clinton administration in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll do everything I can to help her get elected. And my hope would be, I did that last time from Seattle. I was her finance co-chair in the state of Washington, and I will continue to help in that way. And if she needed me and I was the best person to help her out, I'd certainly do anything I could to help her and this country be successful.
What happened? Speaking with Whitney Williams, a Montana native, very active in philanthropy and politics. And Whitney, it's just a pleasure to chat with you about all this. Thank you.
Thanks, Sally.